Translation: O son of Mitra, kindly describe how the planets are situated above the earth as well as underneath it. Also, please mention their measurements as well as that of the earthly planets. Please repeat. O son of Mitra, kindly describe how the planets are situated above the earth as well as underneath it. And also please mention their measurements as well as that of the earthly planets. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Yasmin vijante sarvayam evam vijnatam bhuvati. This Vedic hymn declares empathically that the devotee of the Lord knows everything material and spiritual in relationship with the Lord. Devotees are not simply emotional, as is ill-conceived by certain less intelligent men. Their direction is practical. They know everything that is and all the details of the Lord's dominations over the different creation. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitan Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyacha Desatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garada Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavindam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, seeking the blessings of everyone here on the internet or whoever Vaishnavas are around the planet, so I can say a few words regarding this particular verse and purport. Vancha kalpatrubhischa kripa sindubhya evacha patito nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So Prabhupada in the purport is explaining that sometimes devotees are criticized for being emotional or sentimental. Lord Chaitanya himself was criticized by the Mayavadis for being sentimental and just chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. There are many different sampradayas, and a lot of sampradayas, they study the books, they study the Vedic literatures, they study analytically how the whole world configuration, everything works. But the path of bhakti is somewhat different. One doesn't have to be studious. As explained by Prahlad Maharaj, what's that famous verse? How long have you been coming to Bhagavatam class? Everyone should know this verse. Prahlad Maharaj already, you should hint by that which verse it is. Sharvanam Kirtanam Vishnu. So these are the basic 9 processes, and depends how you look at it, anything can be over-analyzed, but none of them actually Prahlad says to study, does he? It's mainly just something physical or chanting or remembering. So in this way, but yet nevertheless Prabhupada is explaining here in the purport that devotee is an all-rounder. He knows everything that's around him. Prabhupada once said that only a lazy person doesn't know how to cook. Everyone should know some basic philosophy, the basic know-how of the world, how the world runs. So in this way, we can know how to deal with the material world, both as a devotee and someone who's living in the world over here. Once there was one scholar, he was coming to the manor. This was way back in the 80s. And he was coming to meet some of the leading devotees, and they wanted to discuss Vedic perspective, viewpoint of life, spirituality. And he arrived here, and when he came to the manor, he was a little bit lost. You know, when you come to the man, it's a bit daunting, a big building, you don't know where to go, there's no signs, there's a few Hare Krishnas, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, and you're wondering what's going on over here. So he was in a show. So then we had our car mechanic just by the Haveli entrance where you go into the Prashadam. That used to be our garage in the 80s. We used to fix our cars there. So there was the mechanic, he was underneath and he was fixing the car. And this scholar, he tapped on the car and he says, "Excuse me, sir, can you help me? I'm a little bit lost." And then the car mechanic came out of the car and said, "Well, you come to the right place if you're lost. The Hare Krishna place will help you." And then they started a conversation and they started discussing for about half an hour about life, about philosophy. And the scholar was quite amazed with the depth of knowledge the car mechanic had. So this is your average, you know, as they call it, excuse me if I'm being offensive, grease monkey. But somehow or another, he seemed to have impressed the scholar with his knowledge of spiritual life. And then when he did meet the leaders, he was thinking to himself, and he expressed to them, "If our car mechanic knows so much knowledge, I can't imagine what the pundits are like, what the scholars like Paramakaruna knows, like David, our pundits, how much knowledge must they have?" So in this way, everyone should have some basic knowledge. So in this situation, in this particular verse, it's been asked about the realms of other existence. How many people have looked in the stars? Hands up. How many people have wondered what on earth is going on in those stars over there? How many people wonder if E.T. exists? How many people even wondered if E.T. made it home? So there are many life's questions we ask. Who am I? What's the purpose of life? And generally, another important top five questions people always ask is there life outside our own earthly realm? And the answer is yes, a resounding yes, a confident yes. So although with our blunt senses, we cannot perceive maybe the other worlds, maybe they've sent a Sputnik up there. But as we'll describe later on in class, these other planets cannot be possibly conceived by our gross material senses. So there's two ways to get knowledge. Anyone note the two different ways we can get knowledge? Prabhuji? Sorry? Ascending and descending. So ascending is a process what the modern scientists, scholars, or the people do. They try to examine the world, and in this way they try to get knowledge about their life, their existence, and their previous civilizations was existing. The problem with that is always trial and error, because the human body has four defects. So when you start off something with four defects, then the conclusion is going to be, imagine you've got a glass of water and it's half full, and if you put a pencil inside there, when you look at it from the side, how does the pencil appear? It seems bent when you look at it. But is the pencil bent? No. So therefore, the assumption is when we see something with our eyes or different senses, we might come to the perfect conclusion. But actually, when the senses are imperfect, the conclusion we derived is going to be imperfect. So Prabhupada also mentions that if someone wants to know the father, then what does the mother say? Who do you have to go to? I mean the father, once you know the mother, excuse me, the other way around. If the child wants to know who the mother is, what does the father say? You have to go to the mother. The mother is the one who knows. She has first-hand knowledge. She was there. The father might not have been there. I wasn't there for both of my kids, so I don't know. I'm assuming they're my kids. But the mother knows for 100% sure. So then in this context, who is the mother? The scriptures, the Vedas. So at the dawn of the creation, the scriptures, the Vedas were given, and the lawgivers are Manu. Manu are the lawgivers, and they give us all this vast knowledge. So the Bhagavatam explains all this different planetary system. So we're going to have a little bit of a visual look of what the planetary system looks like. Visual always helps us a little bit to try and understand where we are. When we're looking at a map, if you're trying to imagine the road map, it's very, very hard. But if you've got a map in front of you, it's much easier. So here we go. So in this verse, it's asking to describe the planets above and the planets below. And particularly, he wants to know one particular place. What place is mentioned in the verse? Kids, anyone was listening? What particular planetary system was mentioned in the verse? Alpesh, do you remember? Earth planet. So have you heard the saying? We think we are the center of the universe. So that's the assumption. We think the world revolves around us. We think everything is about us, our place, our house, our country, our earth planet. But the Vedas, the scriptures, beg to differ. They're explaining that there are also other planetary systems. So since we live on planet Earth, we'll talk a little bit about this planet or this system. What's the Sanskrit word for this system? Bhumandal. So this place is very, very interesting. What's interesting about this place? Let's just check a few things out. We can have a little discussion so it doesn't make the class boring. You don't have to just listen to me. What's interesting about this place? Anything? Anything you know about Bhu? Sorry? We can burn off our karma, yes? Anything interesting about this place? Different oceans, we've got the milk ocean, we've got the sugarcane ocean, we've got ghee, we've got liquor, all different kinds of oceans. Anything else about this place, Prabhuji? Yeah, it's between the hellish and the heavenly planets. I'll come back to that in a minute, Mr. Damodar. Yes, Mataji? You can chant the holy name. This is the one place and only one place, as I've been told. Obviously, it's arguable. This is where we get prema bhakti. Prema bhakti is only available on the earth realm. The other places, you have to work your way up slowly, slowly. If time permits, we'll try and discuss that. As we know the famous story of who? Gopa Kumar, thank you. So this place is between hell and heaven. So I think we all experience that in life, isn't it? So what kind of heavenly delights have you expressed in this life? Anyone? What kind of heavenly enjoyments have you had? A nice bite into rasgulla? Mm, 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 mm. Belgium chocolate. Bell juice, anything nice, heavenly, realmly things that we've enjoyed on this planet? Oh, don't get me going. One day until I break my sweet fast. Anything else? What about the nice beaches in Bali, the nice beaches in Goa, the nice heavenly places? I just came from Badrinath, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, is it the most amazing place? Snow-capped mountains, all nice trails in the forest. You can just imagine how the rishis used to live over there. Amazing place. So these are some of the nice heavenly delights we get on planet Earth. However, the coin also has the other side, sukha and dukkha. So we can enjoy some heavenly delights over here, as we will at 8:30-ish with nice breakfast. But what are some of the dukkha that we have to go through? Diseases, oh God. Am I beginning to feel that? Back pains, muscle aches that have never existed. Some of the other dukkhas that we experience on this planet?
Disasters.
Spain is going through some disasters. This place, although it's called Bur, has another name, which is called Mrityuloka. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that living entity that's taken birth is sure to die. No one can live here forever. Not even that Jai Krishna, even though he thinks he can stay here forever. Everything, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We all suffer. The adhyatmik, adibhautik, I don't have to remind you. Everyone knows there's so much suffering. So we're in the middle realm. But the unique thing about this place is there's one particular tract of land is very, very unique on this realm. What is that called? Bharatvarsha. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared and placed His divine lotus feet. Just now I was in Radha Damodar. I don't know if you've been to Radha Damodar. You seen the Govardhan Shila there? That Lord Chaitanya gave to Raghunath Das Goswami. And you can see the footprint of Krishna on there. So you can imagine that Krishna walked this planet. You can imagine Lord Chaitanya walked on this planet. So Bharatvarsha is also a very special place. And Lord Chaitanya himself said, if you've taken birth in Bharat, then it's a unique opportunity for you to perfect your life and get out of this sansar. So that's a little bit about the earthly realm. Okay, so now we're going to go a little bit into the other realms. So we're going to start off with Patel Loka. No, sorry, Patala Loka. Are you Patel? No. So, what goes on in Patala Loka apart from Dokla? What goes in Patala Loka? Patala Loka is the lowest. So, here in this particular verse, it's talking about the Virat Rupa of the Lord. So, the feet of the Lord in the Virata form is considered the Patala Loka, the lowest. So the Patala Loka is generally known as the hellish planets. That's where the living entities who don't follow the laws of God end up over there. So that is the Patala Loka. It's a dark, terrifying place. How many of you have been in a situation where you've had a power cut? And then it's all dark. And when there's dark, it's not such a nice feeling, isn't it? Sometimes when you're driving on a country road and it's all just dark and you're like really, really... So it's dark, terrifying. No one wants to be in that situation. If you want to go to Patel Loka, hands up. So yeah, don't even go there for Doklas. It's not even worth it. Okay, so then if we follow this, then we go up to the Rasatala. So the living entities over there, they emanate or vomit poison. How many people like snakes? Who likes to play with the poisonous snakes? Everyone is terrified with snake. I was just in Govardhan and I saw a massive snake and I went, "Bajeezah," you know, is it coming for me? It was a cobra. So no one likes those poisonous entities. This one devotee does not want to set foot in Australia because Australia has the most poisonous entities, and maybe that's connected to Rasatala. Okay, so moving on, what's the next one? Mahatala. So Mahatala, that's a fearsome place where demons and evil spirits reside. So sometimes on this planet, we sometimes faced with evil spirits. Sometimes we see the Brahma Rakshasas. Sometimes we see that some people are possessed by evil spirits. I was once possessed by an evil spirit, but that's another long story, in Chaitanya College. I don't even know it's about the infamous Buddhas that existed in Chaitanya College. Anyone been to Chaitanya College? It was a Hare Krishna community from, I think, 78 to 82. So that place was the realm of Rasatala, full of evil spirits. Okay, so now we're moving on to Mahatala. Talatala. So these wealthy beings and demons. So one thing about these places, they're not gross places. They're all subtle places. And with the naked eye, we cannot see it. And then they also exist in a subliminal consciousness. So although the earth is a place of gross elements, these other places, they are on a different dimension that we cannot possibly conceive. And it's hard for the brain to conceive because we only used to like accumulating knowledge with things which surround our own senses. Supposing, like, you know, if you go back 500 years and you were living in King Henry's time and someone brought out a smartphone, what do they think you're going to be? A witch, a possessed person, you know? And you say, no, it's a good knowledge, you know? So in those days, because you don't have that knowledge, these other things, you tend to think that they're kind of strange. So these planets, these are where these fearsome demons and evil spirits would come and exist. Wealthy beings and demons would exist over there. These are the demons that sometimes would come to the other higher planets to try and overtake who? The demigods. Then we're going up a little bit, which is the Sutala. Anyone have any idea, Parama, what exists over that side? Yeah, that's right. So Bali Maharaj, everyone knows the famous story of Bali Maharaj, that he was pushed down by Vamandev, and this is the place that he went to, the kingdom of Bali Maharaj. So although it's considered the hellish planets, what's unique about this place? Yes? In the form of Vamandev. So in the form of Vamandev, so even though this is the hellish planet, Vamandev is there guarding and protecting Bali Maharaj. Also the other thing, just one step, big Tala, it's an interesting place. That's where a certain clever individual lives. Anyone knows who this is? Maya Danava. So some of these gadgets, some of this incredible digital technology, there's some conspiracy theories that Maya Danava has seeped in and given some of this technology. If you think about it, for many years we're in dark ages. We were lucky to even invent the light or anything like that. But in the last so many years, everything's bada boom boom so quickly. So maybe Maya Danava's given us some technology. Who did Maya Danava help in the Mahabharata? Arjuna. So the Indraprastha was a kingdom which was really, really amazing. And that was crafted by Maya Danava. Vitala is a place of gold and opulence. Who likes opulence? You want to go there? So over there, it's even though it's a hellish planet, the enjoyment is higher than us over here. The realm of enjoyment is much more higher in those places. But there's one thing they fear very, very much. What is that? Death. Nothing lasts forever. So even though they're enjoying, they know death is coming. Tick tock, tick tock. You know Captain Hook, you know, he heard that crocodile tick tock. So even though you're enjoying, it's hard to enjoy. Isn't it sometimes, I don't know about you, when you're on a nice place on a beach, when it's 2 or 3 days closer to that flight, you think, oh God, I got to go back to England. Oh God. So that's the feeling those guys have. Even they got all sensual pleasures, they know that it's coming to an end. I have to catch that flight back to hell. And then Atala, anyone know anything about this place? So this is from my understanding, correct me, pundits, it's the Nagaloka. It's the reptilian people who are living over there. So everyone is fascinated by this reptilian people, isn't it? Just look at the person next to you. As Damodar does when he unrobes himself, takes his head off, and underneath him is a reptilian person. There's all sorts of conspiracy theory, but reptilian people are shaped. What's it called? Shifters. Shape. So they can actually transform themselves from that form into a humanoid form. So you just never know who is in that body next to you. So just check out Alpesh. Yeah? And it is explained that in a certain part of Jambadweep where we are, there's a portal where these beings, they can come. So I'm not going to go in the realm of speculations over here. This is, after all, the seat of Vyasa. But generally, UFOs or ETs, they don't so much, at least the demoniac ones, they don't come from the higher planets. They actually come from the lower planets. So when you're looking for UFO, don't look up in the sky. Look below, yeah? Because when you look up there, you might see the demigods come down. If you have that vision. So that's the Nagaloka. We know a little bit about Nagaloka from the Mahabharata. Anyone? Bada boom boom. What is Nagaloka famous for in the Mahabharata? Yes. And also, if I'm not mistaken, my memory is getting a bit shaky these days. Wasn't Arjuna married to one of the Nagalokas? I think he has descendants from that kind of a clan. So yeah, one of his wives is also one of those Nagalokas, reptilian people. And who knows, their descendants could be right over here. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, so now that's the lower planets. And now we're going up to the higher planets. Time is not on our side. Time is never on our side. Tick tock, tick tock. It's breakfast time. Alrightio, so let's go to the higher realm. Bhuva Loka. So those of you who chant Gayatri, who chants Gayatri over here? So we chant this Om Bhur Bhuva Swa. So Bhuva is the realm of the demigods. It's the realms where if you accumulate piety, if you do good deeds, if you plant a tree, if you feed the homeless, if you do pious credits, then you get one of these get out of jail card. And then you go to the heavenly planets. And you enjoy a life of pleasure. You enjoy a life of luxury. The problem with that is what? Yes, you know. How many people have used their credit card and it's been declined? So your credit card in the heavenly planet, in the Burloka, eventually, even though it's American Express, it will eventually, credit will run out, and then you'll have to come back down to the lower regions, depending on your karma. Then we go a little bit higher. What's the next place? Swara. Each place you go becomes better and nicer and, you know, free from suffering. So who lives in Swaloka? Indra, the king of heaven. And there is enjoying this wonderful drink called? Seven Up, I thought. Somarasa, a drink that everybody is trying to get hold of, particularly Hiranyakashipu. So their delights are there, happiness is there, beautiful apsaras there, Urvashi is there dancing. But yet again, even though it's so nice, it's always threatened by who? Guys from Sutala, Vitala, those kind of planets. Hiranyakashipu, Bali Maharaj, Kalanemi, all those guys. So Indra, although in a nice place, he's always in constant fear that one of these guys from the lower planets is going to come and challenge him. Okay, then we're going up a little bit higher. The next place over here, if you're with us, if you haven't fallen asleep, is what place? So those who are enlightened, Om Tat Sat. The enlightened beings, they go over there. So those who are sages, those who are different persons who are serious about spiritual journey, if they don't finish their journey in this life, they end up over there, the great sages. If I'm not mistaken, are the Sapta Rishis there, Parama? The one above, is it? Okay, thank you. So Janaloka, the sons of Brahma, they reside over there. So at the dawn of creation, Brahma had children, the Prajapatis, Daksha, the Manus, all those, and they reside over there, and they are the ones who govern, give us the knowledge, make sure the system, the organization of the cosmos is running nicely. Then the next one is Tapaloka. These are the same planets that Gopakumar went, and each realm that you go higher and higher, there's less envy, there's less anger, there's less jealousy. Those traits which are prominent on this realm and in other places, they get less and less and less as we climb the higher realms. And finally, after climbing, going through all those, Brahmana, Bhuvana, Loka, we reach the highest planet, which is Satyaloka, where the original creator of this universe, Lord Brahma, you can see him over there, is Satyaloka. And that place is pure intelligence. Please don't ask me what pure intelligence is. I have no idea. I did just do this class on a copy and a paste basis. So Satyaloka, if you're a celibate, if you're a nice sticky brahmachari, then you can go straight to Brahma Loka. And from Brahma Loka, it's an interesting place. Either you can ascend higher or you can descend over there. And the understanding is, at one point or another, Alpesh was Brahma with his heads over there, but somehow or another, he wasn't happy over there and he came down. So that's the story. All these different 14 planetary systems as wanting to be described here. I explained over there in the scriptures. The point of these different places is we don't really want to go there. They seem nice, they seem very attractive, wouldn't minding a sip of somarasa. But that's nothing compared to the realm of the spiritual world. Time is a little bit limited. We won't have time to go. But I think most of you know that that is the goal. When you get this rare Manusha Janam, don't try go to Patala Loka. Please, please, I beseech you. Don't try and go and find out the next smartphone from Maya Danava. Don't go to the reptilian place and find out what Radha Mohan is. But don't go to the heavenly planets, I assure you. It's only a temporary lodging over there. It's a transit. But try to go back home, back to Godhead, where Krishna resides in Goloka Vrindavan. And we've been very, very kindly given the map, the route, how to get there by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can bypass all these planetary systems, avoid the suffering. If you like suffering, hands up. No one likes it. You can bypass all this. And in eternal relationship, like Gopa Kumar, we can serve Krishna there, which is our Jivera Swarup, Krishna Nitya Das position, and we'll be eternally happy there. Thank you very much for your time. Hare Krishna. Apart from what is intelligence, pure intelligence, anyone has any question? Prabhuji? You're smarter than me, but anyway.
Just genuinely want to know, Manu is regarded as the lawmaker. So how does him being the lawmaker affect the earthly planet?
So we're talking in the realms of Satya, Treta, Dwapa. Those are the times when the higher beings would come into the lower planets, into the earthly realm, and the books, the law-giving books, Manu's books are there. And then the Niti Shastra, all these different scriptures or these different law books are there. But as time progresses, as we get into Kali Yuga, before Bharatvash was the whole earthly realm, and everyone followed according to the Vedic culture those law books set by Manu. But as Kali Yuga progressed, those law books were disregarded, not followed. Some people in India still follow them. So depending if there's a revival of Vedic culture, then people follow them. But those on the path of bhakti, our law book is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Our law book is Chaitanya Charitamrita. Our law book is the Bhagavad Gita. And in there it explains the moral ethics of how to live. The laws of Manu are basically how we should govern, how we should live, how we should be nice to Bhakta David and not be envious of his nice, exalted learning capacity. And then explaining how we can elevate ourselves into higher beings, higher realms and higher consciousness. But for those who are on the path of Bhakti Mark, those things are a little bit irrelevant. Does that help in any way? Thank you. Anything else? Alpesh, you're making everyone wait for breakfast, not just joking.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Very nice class on this planetary system. When you look at the faith, other faiths, Christianity, Muslim, and Judaism, they don't go deeper into, they just talk about heaven and hell. They don't go beyond that. So how that is consistent with every other religions which we follow? Because I think when we do meet these interfaith people, this is the question, like, you know, because there is a difference in explanation on this heaven and hell and they don't go beyond the heaven.
Yeah, so when we are trying to understand the cosmos according to the Vedic understanding, it's not always an easy concept to comprehend or understand. I mean, even now, you know, when they're trying to make the Vedic planetarium, there's so many different understanding, misunderstanding, you know, because there's Srimad Bhagavatam has one, then the Puranas, then the Vedas. But on the basis of dealing with other religions, I think it's easier just to stick with hell and heaven and just understand that's the way. If you're a good person, then you go to heaven, and if you obviously don't follow the laws of God, then you go to hell. One thing we don't generally believe is eternal condemnation. Krishna is not that cruel. We always rectify redemption and then you elevate yourself. So we have to take A, B, C. You don't explain X, Y, Z. Try and understand A, B, C, D in those realms. And then as they try to understand more and more, then we can try and see. As long as they're open to it without trying to be critical and trying to knock it. It's not an easy concept to understand. But, you know, there was a very nice class by Sadaputta where he explains there's two ways to understand the creation from, say, the scientist point and then the point from the Vedas. And step by step, I don't know if you can find this class, he was explaining how it makes more sense that some being popped out someone's navel and things like that rather than the understanding that they're trying to give. But still, we have to be careful how we present ourselves. It's never easy. But there are some similarities, like there's the flood which is there. There's some kind of comparison which is there. Because originally, as I explained, Bharatvaj, the Manu laws were all over the world. So then when this other kind of tribes of people who existed over there, as Vedic influence got less and less, then things changed over the time and they incorporated into their own kind of understanding cultural things. And but then they kept some elements of the Vedic culture. Like the Incas, their language has 600 words which are directly from Sanskrit. And their understanding of the sun, astronomy, is directly from the Vedic cosmos. I hope that helps. Okay, I think I've taken enough of your time. Prasadam gives the jiva joy, is that correct? So yeah, that's the way. We can also eat our way back to Godhead, Prabhupada said. He received a rasgulla in Bombay from Radha Gokulananda, and he told the devotees, we can eat our way back to Godhead. So if you don't understand the planetary systems, you can eat the planet rasgulla and go back to Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.